Hi, my name is Rutendo Nyamuda, and welcome back to In My 20s. In My 20s, while you're here, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. I am so excited to announce that we officially have a location partner, Workshop 17. And so all the In My 20s podcast episodes will be recorded from the Workshop 17 spaces in both Johannesburg and in Cape Town. So coming up on the In My 20s podcast, our guest speaks about not only finding her passion, but also continuously and consistently pursuing that passion in hopes that someday it will become her full-time job. So welcoming herself onto the In My 20s podcast and into the In My 20s family, here she is.
Hi guys, my name is Chido Chikumbu. I am a banker by day, YouTuber by day as well, and night. You can also call me Cheese, that's the name of my channel. I'm 29 years old, originally from Zim, now living in SA. And yeah, 20s have been a bit rocky, but we made it and doing things that we love.
Now on every episode of the In My 20s podcast, my guests always come through with these incredible mind moments or gem moments. And this is just one of them.
You can't help yourself but feel a bit disappointed the fact that, like, your age mate is buying a house or something, right? Or they've got, like, a whole family, husband, kids, and you're just kind of, like, still, you feel like you're just stuck, you know?
The In My 20s podcast is split up into three sections. In the first section, we get to hear a little bit more about Chido's career journey. In the second section, we dive into today's topic, which is all about pursuing your passion. And then finally, rounding up all three conversations is a conversation on the all-consuming, time-consuming 20s journey. Let's get straight into it. Very excited to have you on the podcast, but I'm very, very interested in finding out a little bit about your background.
Okay.
So where are you from and what are you currently doing and how did you get to where you are today?
Oh, okay, so I was born in Zimbabwe, in Harare. Yeah, most of my family is from there, and that was home up until I was about 8, 9, and then we moved to South Africa. Mm. We actually moved just in time, just when things started to go a bit, like, pear-shaped in Zim. Mm-hmm. So made it out, and moved to Johannesburg here in SA, and, yeah, did most of my schooling here. I'll consider Joburg home, mm-hmm. because I spent most of my life here. It's kind of what shaped me. I don't really remember much about Zim. I haven't been there. My parents, I mean, it's a touchy subject, but mm-hmm. I haven't been to Zim since like 2012, mm-hmm. 2011, which is, yeah, every time it comes up, it's like, whoa, girl, you need to go back. Even now, I'm feeling a bit guilty. Mm-hmm. But it's just because I don't have friends there or anything. Like, I don't really have an attachment there. And then, yeah, went to University of Cape Town, focused on property finance, property development, all that stuff. After graduating, I went to South Korea, mm-hmm. Doing the whole teaching English and Korea thing.
Nice.
So I did that for just over a year,
mm-hmm.
and that's quite an important thing for me because I think it kind of shaped a lot of who I am now and kind of made me involved into doing this YouTube channel and kind of push myself out of comfort zones and push my boundaries and all that stuff. So it's a very, like, unfamiliar place, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one speaks, I mean, they speak English, but it's a bit choppy, and food is different, you look different, people are rubbing your skin and all that stuff. So it was kind of, for someone who was always quite sheltered and very much an introvert, it was kind of beneficial to me to just go and do something quite extreme like that.
Yeah. Why Korea?
I was obsessed with K-pop. It was literally like, it was the only thing I thought about, like, every day. That was it. And it kind of just took a life of its own where I was into, like, now Korean food. I started learning Korean before I even went to Korea. I was just kind of obsessed, right?
Yeah.
And I'd always just thought about taking a gap year. So didn't take one after high school. And then I was finishing towards the end of university. I was like, I really feel like I need, like, a break. I was so scared to get into corporate. Like, it's still my biggest fear, to be honest with you. And I even had, like, a good job offer. It's still a touchy subject for my parents. Like, a good, graduate program, whatever. And I was just like, someone told me about this career program. It's actually quite a big program. It's like one of the biggest teaching English overseas programs. And it was perfect for me because I was obsessed with all things Korean.
Mm.
And now I'm finishing varsity. They want people who are finishing varsity. So
yeah,
it just...
It makes sense.
Yeah. And yeah. Initially, our parents don't know this, but initially I failed my Skype interview for Korea, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's teaching English. Was it in English? Did you fail English?
No. It wasn't like this thing wasn't like an interview like they're not like they're not like testing you or anything. It was more just they just ask you random questions, and for some reason I just failed, and I was like so devastated because before I actually had my position in Korea confirmed, I declined this job offer that I got, right? And I didn't tell my parents. They thought like I already had the career job.
Yeah.
So I declined it, and then I failed this interview, and I'm like, what am I going to happen? I remember this was like towards the end of 2013. So what am I going to do? I can't even tell my parents. So I just kept it to myself and just cried a bit, got over, because I was in the middle of exams as well.
Yeah.
So I just had to keep it moving, and then went home during the holidays.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to Korea. Meanwhile, like, there's nothing.
You're speaking in faith. I'm going to Korea.
I'm going to Korea, but girl, you're actually not going.
Oh.
And then on the 1st of Jan, literally the 1st of Jan 2014, I was like, I need to make a plan. So I just started finding other ways to get there, right?
Mm.
And then I got another interview. So in the end, it worked out.
Mm.
But, yeah, it was a...
Oh. Like, that's the thing. It's interesting in life how some times the things that we suffer through or that are difficult also yield the biggest rewards.
That's true.
And you come out going, actually, you know, this is worth it. I'm happy I didn't give up.
Yeah, I'm glad like I stuck with it.
And now you are, you know, a grown working woman in the corporate industry.
Trying to be grown.
Trying to be grown. You said you went from property and now you're in banking.
But I'm banking. I'm like property banking. So I'm in property finance now. So I've been at this current company for 3 years now.
Okay, very interesting.
So it feels a bit too secure.
Tito, on the one hand, you are this corporate woman who's working in property finance.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you're also a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you decide, I mean, but the other thing is you're not YouTubing about property finance. You're not like, hi guys, welcome to our YouTube channel. Today, you know, about property finance.
Yeah.
You're talking about beauty.
Completely different. Yeah.
It's worlds apart.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about, and why did you decide to start your YouTube channel?
The one thing I'd always told myself, and I was thinking about this, in varsity I always said, if you ever catch me working in a bank, just know I'm not happy. Like, that was like my no-go area.
Yeah,
like, I'm never working in a bank, and then I found myself in this bank, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, how did I get here? Why am I here? Like, I'm not happy. I know this doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
So I just needed something like fun to do on the side.
Mm.
Started doing some makeup stuff, and I was like, I don't think anyone really needs another tutorial like on eyebrows. Like, you know, like, if you're gonna watch that, if you're gonna watch a tutorial, you're probably gonna watch a Jackie, right?
Mm.
So then I thought, okay, let's go into skincare, because that's actually what I'm more into, stemming from the career experience. And yeah, so focus on skincare and focus less on tutorials. Every now and then I'll have like informative videos where it's like, these are the ingredients, whatever, whatever. That's like my seed content.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time it's more just like personality driven and just like just talking to the camera, doing a skincare routine.
Mm.
Initially it started off as something that I wanted to do for fun. And then I kind of went through a slump, and my brother and I kind of had a moment about this, because he's my Christiana, right? So he's my manager.
Everyone needs a Christiana in their life.
We're still arguing over the percentage, but he's agreed on his percentage. So he puts in a lot into the channel as well. Like, yes, I'm on camera, so it looks like I'm doing everything, but he's the one like doing the business side of it and looking at the numbers and analytics and stuff, because I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm back in the bank when I start looking at those things, right? So I kind of started going through a slump where it started to feel like a job again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I went from doing one video a week to now doing two videos a week.
Mm.
My brother's like, let's try push to three, which is kind of hard with a 9-to-5 job, right?
Yeah.
So I reached a point where I was just like putting out videos that I wasn't too into myself.
Mm.
There are lots of videos that I actually recorded and are just on my, like, they're still on my computer. I just haven't released them, because I mean, I watched them back. I was just like, I don't know if I would watch this, so okay. let me not release this. But after chatting with my brother, especially like this past holiday in December, I feel like I'm ready to just like commit to it, because he raised a valid question. He's like, you know, you're not having this banking thing and this YouTube thing is kind of picking up. So why aren't you focusing on the one thing that like can get you out of banking, you know, can get you out of the thing that you've never
been. And that you enjoy as well.
Exactly. I'm also at a point where I can't stop now. I feel like I've come so far and it's doing well. I'm naturally getting subscribers. When I started, I had to do like giveaways and all these things to like get people to come to my to my channel. But now, like every day, I open my email and see so-and-so subscribe to channels without even posting. So it just shows that it's working. And now when you see those sort of benefits, you kind of, you're inspired to keep going. Other things that keep me going was like, I started monetizing last year. I started monetizing, and that was a big accomplishment, because to monetize this, so first you have to get at least 1,000 subscribers or something.
Yeah.
And then you also have to get 240,000 watch time minutes.
Oh,
so that's 4,000 hours.
Oh, wow.
And bear in mind, it kind of sounds easy, but your average person watches 3 minutes of a video. So after 3 minutes, that's like a good watch time for a video. So after 3 minutes, that's all you're getting. Whether your video was 10 minutes or 25 minutes, if a person only watches 3 minutes, only those 3 minutes are counting towards your 240,000.
Wow.
So that's the harder part. So when we reached that and started like monetizing and putting ads on the videos, like I don't get a lot of money from it, to be honest. Like, it's not anything exciting.
But it's not time for you to resign.
It's really not. But it does just make it more enjoyable. Like, when you start seeing the benefits, you're like, oh, okay. It's like, I'm not wasting my time here, you know? People are actually enjoying the content.
Yeah. And I want to go back to that period of slump that you were feeling. Because what is very interesting is, especially with these side hustles that we start, so it could be, you know, posting on Instagram or starting a YouTube channel or a podcast or blogging. At the beginning, you're here, you're like, I'm so excited.
Just recording everything.
Exactly. And you're just like, hey guys, you know.
Cheap.
And that's a good, you know, month one, month two, month three. You're just here. It's exciting. And then something happens.
And you're not sure what it is.
And you're not sure, exactly. Yeah. And so it's the same with, I think, starting a new job. You start a new job, you're like, oh, word,
energized,
my boss is amazing. HR, great interview. I got it. I signed on the dotted line. But then it becomes this thing of consistency. And when you were going through the slump as well, how were you feeling? What were the emotions? Like, what were you going through? How did you get there?
I don't know. So it's kind of a weird one, right? Because the 9-to-5 that you're trying to get away from with your side hustle, right? That's how it's draining your energy, because you're not enjoying that, and it starts like draining your energy. And because you're so drained from that, you now don't have the energy to do the one thing that you like. So it just becomes this vicious cycle of not being happy in both aspects of your life, right? Like your main job and your side hustle. And I think because I knew that I was not enjoying it because of this 9-to-5, it kind of made me even more depressed. Like, I was just like, why is this taking so much from me? It's already taking like a lot from me, like before the channel, but now it's taking like the one thing that I was trying to do for myself. So you start thinking about those things, and then now you're just like in a sad cycle of just
sad. Like, I don't even know what's happening.
I don't even know. You just wake up sad, go to bed sad, and you're just like,
even posting doesn't give you joy anymore.
It really doesn't.
Finding a good filter. No.
You're just like, you're off all platforms.
Did you ever think of quitting and just saying, actually, I'm done with this YouTube channel, I want to stop?
So I did think of it, but then what I'm grateful for is coming back to my brother, right? Because he's put in so much time and effort into this. That's kind of what kept me going. So being accountable to someone as well. Like, you don't want to just like stop, and this someone else has put in so much invested time and money as well into something for you. Like, he gets his 15%, but I mean 15% of the check I'm getting is really not anything. But he's put in so much, so now you're like, how is he gonna feel if I just walk away from this and he was literally just there helping me out for my dream. And also, after a while, if you've been doing it for a certain amount of time, people also start asking you, like, where are the videos? And now you're like, okay, people actually do enjoy these videos, so maybe I should come back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's those sort of things where you actually see, like, oh, okay, maybe people are missing you.
But I'm really happy I'm chatting to you now before you reach your 1 million views,
oh,
1 million followers. You'll just be like, I don't have time.
No, but kidding, also by
but also by then, it looks very different.
Mm.
And I think your 20s or being in one's 20s is the time where you're starting out.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see what other people starting out looks like.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the 1 million views, the conversation changes.
Yeah,
because
different.
Then you're like, no, but I've been doing this. Or they make it seem so easy.
Mm.
Like, all you need to do is just, like, you know, put on some eyeshadow and look cute.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, and then use a good hashtag and you're good. You're like, no, I tried that. That doesn't work.
Like, a lot of things went into this.
A lot of things went into that, exactly.
Yeah.
And you might have a team.
Mm.
So now you're starting off, you're just by yourself. Yes, you've got your brother's assistant as an assistant. Ooh, you've got your brother's assistant. You've got your brother as an assistant, and you're now building.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, you've got an editor. You've got someone who's helping you with pictures, and then, like I said, the dynamics of the conversation changes. I wanted to talk to you about, I think, two keywords you've mentioned: consistency side and the focus. How are you feeling about that now, going into 2020?
I think I'm more consistent, more focused, ready to take it to the next level. Because the thing is, with YouTube, again, going back to that algorithm, consistency and subscribers literally go hand in hand.
Mm.
So I've noticed that as soon as I'm more consistent, my subscribers just skyrocket.
Mm.
So I'm should I even put this on air, like my target?
Next thing
it doesn't happen, though.
No, but then it's all about accountability. To the world now, not to say. So it's not a Dear Diary moment. Hit us.
So I'll actually reach at least like 10,000 subscribers by the end of the year. And I think it's doable, because at the rate that it's growing now, it's a lot faster in terms of subscriptions.
Nice.
So I think it can happen.
Mm.
Maybe even above that, but let's not get too excited. And then with that also comes, like, getting sponsorships and stuff. So right now the numbers are still a bit low for a brand to really be like, oh, can you sell this or whatever.
Mm.
So I'm hoping to pick up on that. And if I continue being consistent, it should happen, to be honest,
What would you say to someone who wants to start a YouTube channel, who is maybe in the same position you are? Mm-hmm. They have a 9-to-5 job that is in a completely different industry and space, but they're also looking at YouTube saying, but there are enough beauty YouTubers, or there are enough fashion YouTubers, or there are enough people in South Africa or on the continent with this content.
True.
What would you say to them?
So I'd say, like, it's kind of what I felt. You kind of just have to do it. So I woke up one morning, I was like, let me buy a camera and the tripod and just record. And I would even say get a camera. You can literally record on your phones. Our phones these days are, like, the cameras are ridiculous.
Mm.
So you don't even have to do that. But you just, it all starts with that one video.
Mm.
Like, after that first one, then you kind of keep going. It's just kind of, there's always that barrier of the first one. And you just feel awkward on camera. You're kind of, like, whispering. You're probably not your full personality, even mine. Like, I was kind of, like, quiet. Like, I was just, like, doing a routine and not, like, saying anything. And then touching on your thing about if you feel like there might be an oversaturation of specific type of YouTubers.
Mm.
To be honest, I think no matter what genre you want to go into, there are YouTubers doing that already now. Like, YouTubers just expanded and it's crazy. But it's just about finding your own take on something. So finding your personality, making your personality shine on YouTube. And I think that's what people are really more into when they watch a YouTube channel. So, like, Jackie Aina, for example. To be honest, like, her makeup is great. She has great makeup. But I've reached a point where I just put her on in the background. It's kind of like entertainment, right?
Yeah.
Like, just listening to someone speak, their jokes, what they're doing. So,
yeah.
Kind of go more for that angle, more of a personality angle. And don't be intimidated at the fact that there are hundreds of people, millions of people doing the same sort of thing. Like, there's always some sort of niche or gap within the market.
I have to ask, this is my favorite part of the podcast, as I mentioned, 20s journey, 20s life. How would you summarize your 20s thus far?
The 20s are not great. Like, they have potential to be like this amazing time of your life, right? Because you start them, you're in university, you're studying, it's all fun and games. And then you start making money, so now you got disposable income and get excited about that. So it's all these cool things that should be amazing and fun. But with those things, it comes with trying to figure out who you are as a person. You might find that you might not like who you are becoming or certain aspects of yourself. One of the big things that happened to me in my 20s was like family dramas. Right? I won't get into that because it's other people's dramas. But family dramas, and now you're at an age where you understand what's going on. People kind of involve you a bit. Like, it kind of consumes you as well. So you kind of just like, I don't want to be part of like this drama. I wish I didn't understand what was going on, but now I know, and now it's like miserable. And then there's a new thing, there's the thing I mentioned about making new friends, and it was just like, it's kind of a messy one. Love life things. It's just, I don't know, I'm still trying to figure it out. To be honest, like I said, I'm leaving my 20s, right, soon. And I never got to grips with them. Like, I still don't know what's happening. I'm confused as to why I still don't know what I want from life, why I react to things a certain way. So, like, confused about, like, my own personality and things like that. Trying to change things, but at the same time, like, why should I change who I am? So it's like a therapy session. I just feel like there are too many things happening, right, in your 20s. Like, too many changes, too many dynamics from, like, all over, from work, from home. And you're just trying to find a way to be happy, but you don't even know what makes you happy. Sometimes it feels like nothing will make you feel better, right? And you just end up in this cycle of... So I think I kind of went through, like, a depressed moment. I did go through that. And it was just kind of that feeling of being lost, which I think a lot of people go through in their 20s. Like, it's nothing new. It's I hate my job, but why am I not trying to leave? Or why am I not, like, before the YouTube channel, why am I not trying to do something to get me out? I'm just, like, hating it, but I'm also not trying to change anything. I don't know. I feel like I'm touching on so many things in the same sentence.
But that's what your 20s is, really, you know?
It's a mess.
It's everything at once. Yeah. It's either, like, nothing happens and you feel like, why isn't anything happening? Or everything kind of happens at the same time. What I particularly find very interesting about one's 20s, and I think through you saying everything you've been going through, it came out quite evidently, and that is, I feel like 20s are like your biggest growth period as well. Like, you literally have gone from a child, you just left the house, you enter university or college, or, you know, you start working, and you're 19, 20, and then at the end of your 20s, you're 30. Like, you're like full on adult.
So much changes in between that time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it's 10 years, you have other periods of 10 years with other ages, but yeah, you literally go from a teenager or... Like, I mean, you're not really 20, you're not a teenager in your 20s, but you go from that, like, university aspect to making your own money, probably buying a house or renting or something like that. And then even with that, let's go to the later part of the 20s, right, which I'm in now. And you start seeing people. So I've always been quite good to not compare myself to other people in terms of, like, career and stuff. But you can't help yourself but feel a bit disappointed the fact that, like, your age mate is buying a house or something, right? Or they've got, like, a whole family, husband, kids, and you're just kind of, like, still, you feel like you're just stuck, you know? So a lot of my 20s, especially this later part of my 20s, it's just been, like, a feeling of being stuck. It's the same thing day in, day out. It's also scary to try to do, like, a big change as well. So you're just like, do you want to risk it all and do the big change, move somewhere, or but then you can move somewhere and it can be the same feelings that you've always had, because I don't think those will actually go away. Or you stay in this, like, rut that you've got. When you see other people, it looks like they are moving on and advancing, but you don't actually know what they're going through. They might also just feel stuck, right? They might feel like they got married too young. So now I kind of get it that everyone's just trying to survive, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
Especially people in their 20s. We're all just trying to, get through the day.
Mm.
Everyone's got things, personal issues or personal situations that you don't see, that you don't know.
Mm.
Me being mad at my job and stuff is actually... It's actually not a big thing. People are going through like real like life problems. Like then comes the thought of like, you should be happy you have a job. Like those sort of things.
Mm.
You should be happy that you've got family. You should be happy that you've got friends, that you've got a car, you've got somewhere to live.
Mm.
So as I'm exiting my 20s, I think I've come to terms with the fact that I'm actually doing okay, to be honest. I think, and these feelings that I had, I think a lot of people have had them as well.
Mm. Looking back into your 20s as well,
mm-hmm.
have you ever gone through the quarter life crisis? And if you have, when was it?
I think I was literally at 25. So I got back from Korea and then worked for a bit. And then when I quit that job, and that was my quarter life crisis, I literally just, I couldn't do it anymore. It wasn't like I quit planning on doing something.
Mm.
I was like, this cannot be my life. Like, what am I doing? Why am I in corporate? What's the point of all of this? Like, what are we even working for? What, to buy a car and an apartment, like a 2-bedroom apartment? Like, what? And then what? Like,
you know,
so I just kind of had that moment of like, it sounds so cliche and so cheesy, but just kind of like, what is life? You know, like all those things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was really not, when I look back, when I was in it, I was like, okay, fine, whatever. But when I look back, I was like, I actually was really not happy in that. In that phase.
Yeah.
And I actually think I was 25, like exactly.
Mm. How did you begin to come out of it? Because when someone goes through a quarter life crisis or goes through something heavy in life or a slump or whatever it is, sometimes it's difficult to come out of it or to see a light.
Yeah, true. It was kind of like baby steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of like trying to find a way to just make it better. I mean, I didn't like fully recover like instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You do feel like you're alone in it at the time, but yeah, it's just part of growing up, I guess.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that like, you know, everyone has gone through it, you know, but feel what it feels like to go through what you're going through.
Mm.
Because I feel like we want to run away from the emotions and the feelings because they feel uncomfortable or we associate it with being a bad feeling.
Mm.
We don't want this. We only want the joy and the happiness and the, yay, we're going and glowing.
But you only get like the full joy if you've kind of gone through like the bad feeling.
And so, Chido, you have shared an incredible amount of wisdom on today's show. I'm not going to lie. I was just here like, got to make notes, got to do things properly. But I want to find out what piece of advice would you want to leave with those who are listening to the podcast who are in their 20s or not even in their 20s? Because I feel like a lot of the content relates to people in their 30s as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what piece of advice would you want to leave with people today?
My advice is, I don't like when people sugarcoat things to me. So my advice is, it's going to be tough. You're going to go through like dark times and like sad times and those moments. But just try cling on to that one thing that will make you somewhat better. I mean, you won't find one thing that's going to turn your life around instantly and make you feel better, make you feel like happier, singing in the hills and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there might be something that, and you might not have figured it out yet, because it also took me a while to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe spend more time trying to find that than searching for that one thing that will bring some joy into your life or like some more joy. And just try focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the mistake that most of us have made of, you're sad and you focus on being sad. You're like, okay, I'm sad right now. I'm going to be sad. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up sad. Like, it's easy to get caught up in that and like listening to sad music and just like, don't listen to Jhené Aiko when you're sad. So just like those things, try not to feed into the bad feeling.
Thank you so much, Chido, for coming onto today's episode of the In My 20s podcast. This was such an incredible way to start the conversations for 2020. To everybody listening, I hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I did. Please don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, get your friends on, get your family on. These are the conversations we are having up in my 20s. Otherwise, we will catch you all same time, same place, right here on In My 20s.